very much, Adam Federman, a reporting fellow with Type Investigations. You can find his articles online. Thanks very much also to Sarah and Nate and Samer and Lainey. I'm Esti Dinur. Thank you, Adam. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
You're listening to WORT Madison.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got to you. Wow. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. So nice, so nice. I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us as always, he came, he saw, he said, eh, I'm going home. Mr. Smarty Pants.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, the spring is in the air, and so are microgametophytes. As, trees are trying to have sex with my nose. So, you know, I'm a pretty tolerant guy, but I do draw a line. I stay in your own kingdom. You know what I mean? Like, it's like... I'm sorry.
Animal, vegetable, mineral.
Yeah, animal, vegetable, mineral. I'm sorry. Animal, I'm okay with. Vegetable, I'm not so. I'm not going to marry a vegetable. But anyway, yeah, they are trying to do that, so I'm a little stuffed up today. So yeah. If I sound a little snottier than usual, blame the plants. Don't blame me.
So it's like the flowering trees.
Yeah. I noticed
they're very
it.
Pretty.
Yeah. Oh, they're gorgeous. They're absolutely gorgeous. And I noticed it was 2 days ago I started getting a little, and it's not a cold because it's just a little bit of sinus blockage, and you know. But I just noticed it because as the trees started blooming and things started coming out.
There's a lot over there.
They do. They're busy trying to find apparently some surface. and my nose is it. So there we go. So that's the spring is in the air.
Yeah. For a good time, it's scrawled on their bathroom wall.
Exactly. Speaking of which.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Ken.
How you doing?
Good.
Chris Powers.
Yeah, there he is.
You guys cracked me up.
That's why you're so cracked.
Oh, God. What you been up to? You're different from me. I don't like to do anything that requires coordination.
Yeah.
But you do. So have you been out riding around?
I've been out, had my bike out a few times now. Yeah. So I'm kind of still building up because I got my cadaver.
Oh, right.
Cadaver knee. So yeah.
Does it ever want to do something you don't want to do?
Well, like strangle people sometimes. So I think it was.
With your knee?
That's the only saving grace. Yeah, right. So I think they might have gotten it from like an execution of a serial killer or something. Yeah. Got Jeffrey Dahmer's
knee strangler. Yeah, right. It was a very specific thing this person had.
It was funny when the surgeon told me that I was explaining this to me. He said, "I'm very particular about my cadavers."
Wow, so, who is it?
So then, you know, I called up Dwight Fry and got the shovel and went out at night. And
exactly.
I just pictured him like shopping at like the farmer's market or something.
Really? Unlike Igor, I pay attention to the corpses I get. Yeah, right.
So I've been biking some, just mostly around Oregon and walking Clopsy a lot. And I've been getting out. And,
it's beautiful.
I actually got a little note for my Fitbit, which was nagging me, saying, "Looks like you've been hitting it pretty hard lately. You might want to take a day off."
Does it really do that?
Yeah, I had
no
idea.
Wow, interesting.
And this is the first time it's done it for me. So. Normally it's like buzz.
You probably have the vanity Fitbit that's really set low, you know, so you can think you're really being athletic, you know. They probably have, there's like the suburban model, you know. Yeah, I'm a power dad, you know.
Kind of I walked 2,000 steps yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. So vanity Fitbit.
But it's so good for my head to get out and just be in the world and look at the sky and the clouds. And we have lots of like geese where I walk.
Oh, yeah.
And
there's those watch out where you walk.
Yeah, and ducks and those cranes that are everywhere all of a sudden. They've just like taken over. They've taken over whole neighborhoods, actually. They've just moved in.
Really?
I've seen them, like, walking. Seriously, I've seen them just walking down the sidewalk.
We have a lot where I work. Last year, there was a baby one, a little one. And they're really unattractive. Like, birds are like, you look at that and you think, yeah, those feathers are hiding a lot.
I was really disappointed a few years ago when the scientist figured out that dinosaurs really didn't look like giant lizards.
No.
They looked like big chickens.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like, you know, it was kind of sad. I mean, there's these ferocious thunder lizards, and then it's like, no, it's just a big chicken.
Yeah, you laugh yourself to death first. That's their strategy.
Well, the feathers will tickle you.
Well, I rewatched on one of the off channels. They re-showed a movie that I loved when I was a kid called Mysterious Island.
Oh, I just think, I love that movie.
Remember that movie?
I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, it was based on the second of the Jules Verne novels that had Captain Nemo in it.
Sure.
Because they were set, you know, just even in the 1800s, let's do a sequel, you know.
He's a brand.
Yeah, he's a brand. Yeah. So they go to this island, and there's a giant chicken or some kind of giant bird on the island that tries to peck them.
Yeah, I was terrified when I saw that as a kid.
That plus a double feature with The Birds, I think. My mother saw The Birds when I was a kid, and she was terrified by that. Every time she'd see a couple of birds like on a windowsill, she thought they were plotting. You know? But that was because my mom had.
If they're crows, they're plotting a murder.
She always had her hair in a giant beehive because my mother had southern hair, right?
Sure.
And when you put that much Aquanet in there, if there was a bird in there, it'd never get out.
No.
Right? So it'd be banging around there forever. Yeah. So that was her problem. Yeah. She was worried about that. She said, "What do you think that crow's thinking?" Not much. It worried her.
About murder
all day long. Hey, they have a new pope.
A new pope. He's from Chicago.
Yeah, he's from Chicago. I wondered about his doctrinal ideas, though.
Yeah, I did too.
But he doesn't like the White Sox for some reason.
No, he doesn't like the White Sox.
Oh, he does like the White Sox. Yeah. Oh, I thought he didn't.
He grew up a White Sox fan.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah. No, he doesn't like the Cubs, which is good.
Oh, okay. So. I was getting it the other way around. Somebody was telling me that yesterday. See, they're already spreading misinformation about the pope.
That's the anti-pope who likes the Cubs.
There was an announcement from one of the Cardinals, by the way, that I thought, now this is the way they do it. This is the subtle way. You know, when you wear a kicky red outfit all the time, you try to be subtle. You know, that's the way you do it. The successor of Peter, this is one of the Cardinals said, has no enemies to, no armies to set, no arms to sell, no currency to float, no trade, and no tariffs to impose.
Wow.
He said he has this awesome moral authority and spiritual authority. So, but no tariffs, apparently.
No tariffs.
So good to know the Pope's not going to impose any tariffs on anything anytime
funny.
Soon. So.
Well, since he is from Chicago, they're making some changes already in the wording of the commandments. Instead of saying thou shalt or thou shalt not, they're going to change to use guys oughta.
That makes sense to me. Yeah, you know, the church has got to evolve, right? It's always got to move forward. New ideas, new ways of reaching the people.
And you can refer to Jesus as pal.
Oh, pal, yeah. Well, I think that, you know, his name is Bob. I think we should call him Pope Bob. I mean, there's enough of this Leo stuff.
I know,
Pope Bob would be the very first
there's
Pope
been, like,
Bob.
There's been like 14, 15 Leos, haven't there?
Yeah, he's the 14th, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so everyone's
and never a Bob.
The last Leo was the late. So the last Leo, he was known for the fact that he was trying to, like, kind of deal with the 20th century. So, you know, coming up on the 20th century. So he started the Vatican Observatory. He wrote a kick-ass encyclical about the dignity of labor. But he also was the guy that was like, I think of all the popes, was more into like the concept of advertising, because the whole thing in the late 19th century with the papacy is brand differentiation. Like, it was like, okay, we're all about Mary. And by the way, have I mentioned I'm infallible? Like, all that stuff was only came up in the
really?
Late 19th century under Leo the 13th. Yeah. So that was all. I mean, again, it's market differentiation. That's what you got to do. You know, it's like, okay, we're not like those Christians. Yeah. We got Mary over here, and the Pope was infallible. Where are you going to get that? There's nowhere else you're going to get it.
Plus, you get that forgiveness on the deathbed thing too. So
oh, that goes all the way back.
You can be a horrible person and.
I think that was Constantine the Great, the first, you know, great Christian emperor.
Yeah.
And he was like, I think I'll slay a few more of these vandals or whatever. And by the way, I'm 10 seconds away from death.
Called Pope Loophole here.
Pope Loophole the Great. Make sure you get that one right. I was actually talking to a friend who was just thinking about, you know, this Pope has said, you know, with respect to transgender, gay, and lesbian and so on, that, you know, he's not too jiggy with that. But her comment to me was really interesting. She said, as long as they're focusing on all the sins, I'm okay with that. Because there's a few others, right? I mean, if they think that's a sin, you know, then, okay, there's also greed, there's gluttony, there's lust, there's, of course, but there's also, you know, sloth and hatred and all these other things. I mean, as long as they're like equal opportunity, like these are all sins.
Yeah.
The problem with, of course, the conservative element of the church is they love righteous hatred, righteous anger.
Yeah. Well, it's the cafeteria. You pick and choose.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. So hatred, no, we don't. Yeah. I don't want any of that.
Yeah. As long as you're like equal opportunity with respect to the sins, that's okay. That's all we really want.
Well, I know this is shocking, but in a reversal, Donald Trump says maybe now is not the time to tax the rich.
Oh,
because he earlier said, you know, we should probably start taxing rich people, which, you know, I took him at his word that he really meant it.
Oh, when he said a tax on the rich, I thought something else.
Oh, a tax.
No. I'm fully in favor of that. Any tax on the rich.
No, taxation.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, he said
I misunderstood.
He said it's probably not the time now. It's like gun control. That's now is not
because they
time.
Need those 30 dolls that the other people are buying. What are those 30 dolls going to go, or 28 or whatever?
JV Dunce was trying to explain.
Oh, Shady Vance,
the Pope Killer.
Noted Pope Killer.
He was trying to explain that to somebody on Fox News, and he said that he made some weird connection with the military and how people want to know that if their kids are going off to war, that their weapons are made in America or something. So there's a, you know, if we don't buy all these dolls, then we can make more rifles or it was really weird.
It was like Guns and Butter, except guns and like
guns and guns.
Yeah, American Girl. Okay, I hadn't thought of it quite that way.
The New York, I think it was the New York Post, had a big headline that they had the first quote came out.
Sure.
And it said, Trump skimps on the Barbie.
Oh, Lord. Oh, well, he's just Ken. So you probably saw that on Monday, there was a federal judge that ordered the North Carolina Board of Elections to certify the results of that Supreme Court race they had down there.
Yeah.
There were two recounts. Well, okay, got to recount the recounts. That confirmed that the Justice Allison Riggs, she was the incumbent, that she had won by, not a lot, but she'd won by 734 votes. But, of course, the Republican candidate refused to acknowledge this. His name, by the way, is Jefferson Griffin, which I think is a wonderful North Carolina name.
The third.
I'm Jefferson Griffin. I don't take nothing from nobody. But on Monday, a federal judge in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of North Carolina ordered that all the challenge ballots should be counted. And they said, you established the rules before the game, said this justice, who, by the way, was a Trump appointee.
Mm-hmm.
So that day they were a little lax in who they put on the court. So this was a 68-page ruling. You don't change them after the game is done or while the game is going on or whatever.
So. But how are we going to win then?
That's the question, isn't it? Exactly.
So, we have a new nominee for a Surgeon General.
Oh my God!
Her name is Casey Memes.
Well,
she's a health influencer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
So influencer general. That's a new
job. She's previously suggested using shrines, full moon ceremonies, literally talking to trees, and mushroom trips to help you find love. according to her newsletter.
Well, and, as I mentioned earlier, the trees thing I'm already experiencing.
Yeah.
Trees trying to have sex with my nose. This happens every time this year.
And she also has a business selling health supplements and things like that.
Oh, of course she does.
Yeah.
How can I monetize this?
Which I assume will go into a, like, she'll divest herself from that, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt. But the, coming soon, her new crypto coin.
And she doesn't have a medical license.
Oh, okay.
So well, she left.
That's because, you know, anybody can figure this out.
She went. If you do your own research.
Yeah, do your own research. Yeah. Come on.
So.
Yeah, I'm just going to take that pill. You know, the pill that lets you know what reality is all
that,
about.
That I sell you for $50 a month. So
they're thinking about getting rid of FEMA. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
I think that would be a lovely idea. I'm tired of the northern part of the country giving all their money to the southern part of the country. Maybe some people move out of Florida. You know? But anyway, no, of course I don't believe that. But there's a whole big question about this. And again, it's one of these like weird revenge peak things that the dear leader is, you know, got. That's how policy gets enacted, right? There was some problems he had with FEMA in the past, so now he's like he just wants to destroy FEMA. It's just cleaner that way. You wouldn't want to, you know, reform it or
we
do anything.
We got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, get to the bottom of this.
Getting rid of it. So.
I mean, he couldn't do like, you know, George W. Bush did and appoint some crony to it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the traditional Republican way.
So, well, I used to work with the FEMA people when
I know, with my
state job. We were kind of like the counterpart.
Yeah,
the state counterpart. And
what was your? Can you say what your organization's name was?
I worked a couple times, but the Division of Emergency Government.
Lovely.
Then they changed it after a while to emergency management, which didn't sound quite as Orwellian. But
Did you have a slogan for that? Didn't you?
Yeah, the only good government is an emergency government.
did they adopt that?
I put it on the whiteboard, like at the entrance to the office one day, but they took it down.
And
so
that's why you're here now.
Yeah, we did this exercise with FEMA one time, and then a bunch of other agencies, EPA and Nuclear Regulatory Agency with the Zion Nuclear Power Plant in Zion, Illinois, which is right across the border, you know, from Racine. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. Yeah.
Kenosha.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Kenosha, gateway to Racine. Yeah, that's it. But I was like the public information person, the PR guy for our office. So we had to practice, like we would do practice press release or news conferences and things like that. But it was fun. It was kind of like a fun game where they'd pretend there was a problem at the nuclear plant and how you'd react. And the FEMA guys were kind of like the referees, kind of like dungeon masters where they would like send you scenarios and say, okay, so this happened. You know, there's rumors that, you know, the governor took his family and is hiding in Cave of the Mounds or something. And so how would you respond to that? And one time they sent me one that said, there were rumors that the cows in Wisconsin are acting strange.
Yeah.
And so I found this Far Side cartoon that said something like, when the farmer's gone.
When is it? They were dancing.
They were dancing. Yeah, they were drunk and they were dancing on the tables in the farmer's house and had the lampshade on their head. And I sent it back to FEMA and I said, rumor confirmed. Again, I don't work there anymore.
You know, if my movie viewing is any guide, you should have been preparing for the zombie apocalypse. Did you guys ever do any of those? Because that seems to be a big one, as far as I can tell. Just a sort of cursory examination of popular culture would tell me that.
I haven't watched it, but I like the idea on that HBO show where they have the mushroom people taken over now, which seems like that's probably the way it's going to go.
You think
the
so? Yeah.
Mushrooms will just
you heard it here first.
Drill into our brains. Yeah. And so. Oh, what else? Hey, they actually turned lead into gold.
Lovely.
Inside the super collider, the Hadron's
Very nice.
Super collider. They actually can like do weird stuff with the.
So now Trump wants a super collider in the United States, right? There's not enough gold in this office. Come on, guys. That's the way to get science funding, right there, sir. Not only that, we're also spinning straw into gold. So you might want to fund that too while you're at it.
Good point.
I'm writing to Companion. He's offered a thing right now. You find guys any gold out there in the interstellar medium?
Yeah. Well, there's some planets where it rains diamonds, and I'm surprised we're not trying to go there.
Really? I don't know.
It's like one of those weird exoplanets.
Oh, okay.
It's like just science fiction hell kind of thing. So, yeah, so take that, Isaac Newton. We can do it now. So,
did you hear that Denmark was very snippy this week?
No.
Can you imagine why?
I can guess.
Yeah, they have an American consulate in Greenland. And guess what they're doing there in Greenland?
Oh, God. What?
They're spying, apparently, on Greenland.
What, on the elk?
To get data on, like, public sentiments and who are some of the people that we could potentially influence to basically get a foothold here. And they were not very thrilled about this, the Danes were, when they found out. So Danish foreign ministry came out, and the foreign minister was like, you know, knock it off or we're going to tell you can't have a consulate here.
Really?
So apparently Shady Vance's trip there, he and Mrs. Shady, were just the thin edge of the wedge, and they've got some spies on the ground there to figure out how they can manipulate folks into thinking that coming to the United States would be the best idea.
They're probably in like these costumes dressed up like, you know, elk or something, and just kind of sauntering
Agent
up,
X, yeah, yes,
sauntering
right.
up to people and eavesdropping.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, the first thing is all they have to do is look at the World Happiness Index. You know, it's like, okay, Denmark always in the top five. You know, United States, what? Yeah, that's what we want to be part of those guys.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, he had a comment on the hostilities between India and Pakistan.
Oh, I'm sure it was edifying.
He said, it's none of our business.
Okay, well, there you go.
Some leadership for you there.
Yep.
Big scoop of leadership.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Leadership.
A lot of things aren't our business. We've made them our business.
Yeah.
I get that. But when someone like that says it's not our business, and it's their nuclear powers, it's kind of like, yeah, it kind of is.
Kind of is.
Business. It's everybody's business. So the EU has been discussing a plan to ramp up pressure on the U.S., with respect to tariffs and other things.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do? What's plan B? And I Trump sounds like he's getting a little, he's such a moron. I mean, gosh, what can I say? He puts this stuff out here, and then he's kind of pulling it back a little bit. Well, maybe we can do this. And of course, you probably saw the ridiculous deal he made with the UK, and they were touting that and making, they was going, oh, there's going to be a giant announcement tomorrow, and it's going to be really world shaking, and it's, you know, I don't know, we're importing more tea bags or something. I don't know what it is. It's just, and of course, the fortunate thing was the papal election totally undermined his publicity stunt. So.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, the EU is basically saying, what's our plan B, you know, if this does continue?
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you have an unstable system. I mean, it's just dependent on the mood of one person,
sure,
which is just not a way to run modern economy.
It's not a rational structure.
Yeah, so. Hey, remember one of those, there have been several of these, so I've lost track, but the president was promoting a coin, a Bitcoin type thing.
A
meme coin.
Yeah.
And this was a few months ago. And now they've done some analysis of, who made money and who lost money. Because it's, it's the market. You know, some people make money, some people lose money.
Some people make a lot of money.
Yeah. 764,000 people lost money on the Trump meme coin. So 750,000 people lost money.
Okay.
58 people profited.
Were they all at the inauguration?
Probably.
All in this itty bitty little room together. Did you say we should have a tax on the rich?
Oh.
I got my list.
And then there was something similar where Melanoma had her own Bitcoin.
Melanoma.
Buck Melanoma.
I saw a stat that she's actually, they claim, and this is like the most optimistic interpretation, that she claims she's actually spent 14 days in the White House.
That. Yeah.
And that's like there are other people like, that's way too many. No, that's not it at all.
Yeah.
I can understand why she would have that reaction.
Yeah, I'm sure there were days when he was down at Mar-a-Lago too.
And that's when she was up in Washington. Yeah, exactly.
So she had a meme coin too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it launched, and a group of anonymous traders scored $100 million payday by buying her meme coin just before it launched publicly.
Yeah.
So somebody made some money on that.
So which country is he going to move to after release? Where's he stashing all the money? That would be interesting to find out.
It would be a story if we had...
Yeah, that would be good.
...journalism anymore, but... Here's some positive news. I tried to find positive news this week because it's just, I'm starting to get a little beat down by all the, you know, the horrible
news. There's positive
news
out there.
So and, you know, I like Minnesota news here. And
sure.
Minnesota graduation rates reach the historic high after a slide during the pandemic.
Sure.
Just over 84% of Minnesota's high school seniors graduated last year. That's the highest rate the state has ever recorded.
How many people are in high school?
That's quite a few in Minnesota. People go to school.
What's their dropout rate? I'm sorry, I mean, I'm going to start doing the negative here. So of the ones that actually made it all the way.
I'm trying to be positive here.
I know.
Dragging me down.
No, I'm just being silly.
So,
this was a story that I really loved. So as AI gets more complex and can do more things, it turns out that it's what they call hallucination rate is going up. Did you hear about this?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So apparently, as it becomes more skilled at the kinds of things that human beings do, it's becoming, and I dare I say it, this might be characteristic of us as well, it's becoming more like us. It's making lots more mistakes. And OpenAI was looking at some of its reasoning systems, some of the previous ones. And so one of the previous ones that they had was this... O4 Mini, and it hallucinated at a rate of about 48%.
Really?
Yes. But some of the new ones, there's this thing called Simple QA, which you can ask it more general kinds of questions. The hallucination rate, as far as they can tell so far, is about 79%. So in other words, when you're asking it a question, now it's really good at stuff that's very solid, right? I mean, you're asking a math question, you're going to get a right answer and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you that we're seeing this already in higher education, because I have colleagues who have students that are obviously having computers write their paper. Their robot buddy is writing their paper for them.
Sure.
But there used to be the way you could tell is by things like, you know, it's using semicolons or the word albeit certainly shows up or something. It's like, okay, that's not the way it works. But as they become more refined, you can get gradations and they won't do things like that, right? So here's the problem. The citations that they'll have for, like, you know, I don't know, you know, they read some text or something like this. The citations of, like, what is going on and who the characters were, they start to be, like, surprisingly off. I mean, if you even looked at an outline of what was going on, you'd know this was wrong. So you're starting to see this show up pretty consistently in students who are trying to use AI for college newspaper or college papers, is that they end up basically having huge error rates already. You're seeing this, but this is it's amazing because it's almost like as they're becoming more complex, they're becoming more devious. But that, I mean, I think that's the characteristic. I mean, that's what makes us what we are, right? I mean, what makes us what we are is not the fact that we're able to represent the world. I mean, any animal can represent the world. We can represent the world as it is not and enjoy doing so. In fact, sometimes live in that world, right? I mean, on purpose.
Sometimes it's survival, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
survival. I just want to know the first monkey. Because you can imagine all the monkeys in the tree.
Yeah.
And so you're on one side of the tree, and there's another monkey on the other side of the tree. Then the monkey's like the lookout. And they make a noise whenever, you know, the leopard shows up or whatever. And that's great, you know, and you can rely on that monkey and you hear the monkey
say, "You guys,"
you know, or whatever. Yeah. And then you all run. But there's that one monkey. That was that moment. You know, it's in 2001, he throws the bone in the air.
Yeah.
No, it was that one monkey that thought, "I'm going to scare the hell out of the rest of these guys.
This will be fun.
This is going to be so good." And makes that little noise and they all run. I think I'll do that again.
Yeah.
That's when we became humans right there.
Well, this was a story from, it was probably a couple of weeks ago. I never got to it, but your discussion reminded me of this. Mike Lindell, Mine Pillow guy.
Oh, Mine Pillow.
Was in court, and he got in trouble because his lawyers used AI for court filings, including like totally making up cases and results of these imaginary cases.
Wow, that's lovely.
And the judge was not amused, but he's asked for a postponement of his trial because after he mistakenly filing a document made with artificial intelligence. Yeah, that was, I'm sure it was a mistake, Mike, but.
My robot pal. So I have here some charts. I love to draw attention to the limitation of the medium, but I have some charts here which were really interesting and I found in the New York Times. And it was things about the first 100 days of our current president, Donald Jessica Trump. And so they say Trump has issued more executive orders than any modern president. And they were showing the even more than Trump 2017. Trump 2017 was a piker compared to Trump 2025, the new improved Trump. And the second highest was, he's over, it's like almost 200. And the second highest was FDR back during the Great Depression, of course, and during the Second World War when you're having to, executive orders are used to fill in the blanks for the legal structure.
Sure.
And so basically he did a little over 100, and Trump's got him beat by quite a bit. Lawsuits against the president, more than anybody, basically. I mean, since the beginning. Value of the dollar, how far down it's gone. The only person who went further down, as you'll remember, Nixon in 73. That was, of course, during the first oil shock.
Mm.
And then markets fell. Funding for medical research. Basically, that's below anybody of recent memory. And then how fast he became unpopular. And I'm sure those other things are completely unrelated to that. We have a, what is this? What is this? Mellon Floyd from Mindless Minion, highest known prime number. We just got some fan mail from some flounders.
Sure, you want to open that on the air?
It jingled, so that immediately attracted me.
Oh, it's a hotel room key.
Oh, no, it's buttons. Nixon's the one, and then the other one says, I don't belong to an organized political party, I'm a Republican. Yeah. These are old political buttons that someone sent to
very
us.
Nice.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Get these up and home and polish them up, and Nixon's the one. That's right. I just saw an editorial. Someone was a reporter from the, she must be quite elderly at this point, but a reporter from the 1970s who said, I lived through Nixon, and this is a lot worse.
Yeah. I saw an old antique car, like a old Fairlane or something from like the 68 or somewhere like that. But
the Dodge gas guzzler.
but I mean, it was just in nice condition, very, very pristine. And but it had a Nixon's the one bumper sticker on, which
excellent.
I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, he is the one.
Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WORTFM.org because we stream all of our programs. You might be one of those people who lives in the future and listens on the archives page whenever you want. And you could also be listening via podcast thanks to Mindless Minion D-Cubed who does the file management stuff. So. All right, we're going to take a break, play some announcements, then we're going to come back with...
Science. It's all science because this is the only place you're going to be getting any science news coming up in the near future. So just to let you know.
And I have a sports roundup.
Yeah.
And an apology, a correction. From something...
You?
We could fill the whole program with corrections, but I'm going to actually take...
Is this going to be on-air confessions?
Kind of, yeah. Okay. It's related to the church. So
to the
conclave and all that
stuff.
Ooh,
I can hardly wait.
But all right, but we're going to play some announcements and listen to these and do whatever these people tell you to do.
So Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
Madison Public Theater invites you to their production of A House Not Meant to Stand, opening May 8th and running through May 24th at the Bartell Theater. Written by Tennessee Williams and directed by Julia Hauck, this is the final play of one of America's finest playwrights. Christmas, 1982. Cornelius and Bella McCorkle of Pascagoula, Mississippi, return one stormy midnight from the funeral of their older son to a house and a life literally falling apart. Daughter Joni is in an asylum, and their younger son, Charlie, is upstairs having sex with his pregnant Holy Roller girlfriend as the McCorkles enter. What ensues is a play of hidden family fortunes, lecherous neighbors, scheming fathers, madness, and even a ghost or two. In this dark, expressionistic comedy, what he called his Southern Gothic Spook Sonata, Williams brilliantly chronicles the fragile state of our world. Show opens May 8th and runs through May 24th at the Bartell Theater, brought to you by Madison Public Theater. More information can be found at thebartelltheater.org. This is WORT 89.9 FM and WORTFM.org.
Get ready for Wartstock on Sunday, May 18th in Warner Park. We have a great lineup of music this year. Bluegrass from Annie and the Okies starts the show at noon. Cuban Conjunto from Revolu will get you up and dancing. The Dirk Quinn Band kicks up a jazz fusion jam from Philadelphia, sponsored by Bluestem Jazz. Smart Cookie is up next with Smooth Groove Pop, and headlining the show is Stephen Cooper and the Nobody Famous, featuring the vocal powerhouse Katrina DeVille and a 10-piece band blasting scorching rhythm and blues. Madison Homebrewers will be back with the 21st annual No Crap on Tap, a rotating selection of beers, ciders, and seltzers from more than 20 local breweries. There will be a delicious array of food vendors to satisfy any craving, and local artisans with beautiful items to browse and buy. Nonprofit tablers will have information on getting involved in the community, and the art exploration area will nourish your creative side. The prize raffle offers concert tickets, hotel stays, merch, and more. Wartstock is proudly sponsored by Summit Credit Union, MG&E Foundation, Dane Arts, Harmony Bar, Madison Homebrewers and Tasters Guild, WSUM, Hoyos Consulting, and Bluestem Jazz. See you there! Get on the good foot.
And we're back.
Not to be too persnickety, but I was a little worried by the last public announcement there. It was they were talking about a delicious array of food vendors. I think they mean there's an array of vendors with delicious food. I just put that out there in case you're listening and you get the wrong idea and you're thinking, oh wow, they've got delicious food vendors there.
It's nice like rotisserie there.
Not exactly right.
Well, I do have to get the correction out of the way here.
Okay,
last week I was trying to make a dumb joke about the Cardinals. We were talking about the conclave, and I made some stupid comment about how the Cardinals were all dressed in red and in the wild kingdom and the wildlife. The birds. I said the bright red ones are females.
That's incorrect.
And that's incorrect. That's totally wrong.
Yeah.
And Chris. Mindless Minion 93 wrote to correct me on that, and then I stand corrected and
chastised. It's interesting because...
But it was one of those things where I knew it, but it's one of those things where you kind of have to think backwards a little bit because, you know, we're used to, like, in humans, women tend to wear brighter clothes.
So you think?
Well, just in general.
Not my household.
Well, yeah, but I haven't been to your place for a while. But So I always have to do like a little Uno reversal there when I'm thinking about that.
Sure.
It's like, you know, oh no, it's the males that are the
actually with birds
colors.
When they look very similar, that means they are very egalitarian in terms of how they take care of the young.
Yeah.
And when you see dimorphism like that, it usually means the female is taking care of the young and the male is just off doing something else.
Yeah. So anyway, so thanks to Chris and everybody else who corrected me on that.
Everybody. Not me though. You notice I didn't correct you.
Yeah, you let it slide.
No, I just thought, you know, let the baby have its bottle.
That was a really dumb joke anyway. And also my sports update.
Yeah.
Last night I went to Ruby's kickball game.
Ruby Red.
Ruby R.
Now see, that's where you got confused.
Our old pal Ruby, who sits in here sometimes, she's invited me to watch their kickball game. I had never watched an adult kickball game before. It was pretty fun, but unfortunately the Corn Jerkers lost 9-2.
I assume that's one of the team's names.
That's Ruby's team's
name. Oh, okay. Okay.
But Ruby was the spark plug. She got on base, scored the first run. And she was the pitcher. She kind of controlled the whole infield
there. That's our Ruby.
Told them where to go, how many outs, reminded them how many outs there were.
Yep.
But the highlight was when
she gets it done.
When her husband, Lux, was batting one time.
Yeah.
And he kicked the ball.
Yeah.
And his shoe came off.
Yeah.
And his shoe flew farther than the ball did. And this infielder was trying to catch it. And
that's
it was
the shoe.
Yeah. And I looked it up.
How did the points work in that game?
I looked it up when I got home. That's an automatic out because of the infield shoe fly rule.
Oh.
That ding is to tell you that was a joke. So those are my updates.
Okay,
but it was excellent. Great fun. It was great fun watching.
Yeah, very good.
You should come out with us sometime.
Invite me.
I should do that. Yeah, that would help.
Actually, I'm free as a bird this week because a very brightly colored bird. Because
like a female?
Because companion is off doing science somewhere else.
Oh, good.
So I'm at home science-less.
Spinning straw into gold.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm
spinning
hoping.
Spinning time into gold, actually. Yeah. So
my first story, obviously, is going to come from the world of physics.
Okay.
Researchers have unveiled the most precise measurements yet of a neutrino. They've scaled down the maximum possible mass to even smaller than before. This neutrino, this is like, they're joking, right? I mean, why is there something like this? But this was in the April 10th of the journal Science. It does not define the exact mass, just its upper limit. So its upper limit is like very low. And this finding brings physicists closer to figuring out what is wrong with their current model. The current model is called the standard model, and they know it's a little wonky. They've got some issues with it. So as they find out more, they can adjust the various components of the things in the model appropriately. So at bigger scales, learning more about neutrinos will help cosmologists fill in their sort of hazy picture of the universe. Because again, the more we know, the less we know, just like AI. And we're looking, according to John Wilkerson, he's a physicist at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. We're looking at trying to understand why we are here. And that's something neutrinos may have a key role in. Neutrinos have a key role in why we're here. All right. But that's the kind of quote that every scientist, I mean, every ask a scientist, what is this all about? And they think, okay, I can give the hard answer, which no one will write down, or I can give the easy answer. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're trying to find God. scribble, you know, then they're writing it down.
The God particle.
It's the God particle, yeah, exactly. Every person.
That's in every headline, then.
I have this experience. Whenever I travel somewhere and there's somebody sitting next to me and they ask me about myself or ask me what I do, and I try to explain it, I can give them the easy answer, and then they're like, why would anyone do that? Mm. Or again, the hard answer. And they're like, what in the hell are you talking about? Yeah. Try to negotiate it.
One time, a long time ago, I was doing some public information work for a different state agency, not the emergency government.
Sure.
But we had done this thing where we hadn't spent all of our grant money in this year. And people were like, our customers, so to speak, whatever you want to call them. Our clients were complaining that we were hoarding this money. But there was like a good, stupid, bureaucratic reason to do it, because then we would get more money in the future or something, you know. I don't know. It was, but anyway, so this reporter called me, and it was kind of complicated. So I spent a lot of time talking to him and emailing him, you know, documentation, explaining exactly how this process works, that, you know, we will get more money in the long run if we do it like this.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, I get it. And then he writes the article, and it's like, why aren't they spending all this grant money? Why are they sitting on this? It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So
that's the story we all know, that one. So we'll just reinforce
that's
that.
That's right. So the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
NOAA.
We'll be changing that to like Noah from Noah's Ark in pretty soon here, and it'll just be some guy with a beard.
Be all ark-related research.
It's going to rain.
Now, was there an ark, and where did the ark land, and how many did they get all those people on the ark? And
NOAA warns of attacks on radar systems by militia because the militia thinks they are weather weapons.
Oh Lord!
They're like radar stations. Have they never seen those before?
Weather weapons. Yep,
they're weather weapons.
Because so that's the next level of denial, right? So the next level of denial is, you know, climate. I can't deny that climate change is happening. I can't deny that there's extreme.
The Democrats are doing it.
It's somebody has a machine that's doing it. Because it's always a person to blame. It's never the fact that we are idiots.
We all have machines that are doing
all doing it. Exactly.
It's called cars.
There's one parked in my driveway. There it is, right there. You want to smash something? Go for it, baby.
I didn't bring in the story, but I think it was in Florida, which is always a good guess for these types of stories. But somebody they have a bill.
Tin hat capital of the world.
They have a bill in their legislature to outlaw chemtrails.
Oh, okay.
From airplanes.
So what are they doing? What are the chemtrails doing?
Oh, turning the frogs gay or something. I don't know. I can't keep
those
up.
Frogs turn gay so readily. It's just amazing to me. Everything turns them gay. So I mentioned a couple weeks ago that, it's been a little while ago now, about a month ago, that a companion and I were in Vienna looking for yummy
sausages,
European science money. And apparently the Europeans are getting on board right now. There are all these scientists here in the United States that are not going to be getting the kind of grant money and the kind of research opportunities they would have been getting otherwise. And so, Harvard, Columbia, et cetera, they're getting defunded. And so... basically, the people in Europe are saying, hey, I know where we can get some scientists. The president of the French Republic was speaking at the Sorbonne at an event called Choose Europe for Science, where he was basically saying, this president, of course, President Macron, and he was saying that he would like to see making it easier for researchers to come to Europe to do this work. And the president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, she was also announcing that there's a new investment of 500 million euros, or about $566 million, soon to be probably about $900 million, the way the economy is going in the United States. Anyway, but to make Europe a magnet for researchers, and they're going to be spending that money over the next 2 years. So, of course, President von der Leyen did not mention the United States because he don't want to cause an incident. But she described the global environment as one in which fundamental free and open research is being questioned. And she said, what a gigantic miscalculation.
So this will be like the end of World War II when the Soviet Union and the Americans were scrambling to grab the Nazi rocket scientists.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Come here. Yeah, you can do whatever you want over here.
I'm not sure how many Nazi scientists we have right now, but no, it'd be the refugees. Yeah, fleeing.
Yeah, yeah.
Fleeing from the crazy.
Similar.
Fleeing from the crazy country. Yeah, exactly. You and your Jew science.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. The U.S. Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, has reused the same...
You didn't cue the boos. There's a boo that we're supposed to cue.
No, we're being impartial here.
Oh, okay, all right.
She reused... she's the Director of National Intelligence.
All right.
Okay. She reused the same weak password on multiple accounts for years.
Oh, very good.
She failed to follow basic cybersecurity practices on several of her personal accounts, leaked records that were reviewed by Wired.
So what's your password? I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Password.
Password.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Here's an interesting study that was done in Kenya. An evolutionary biologist at the University of, Ryukyu in Japan. I think I pronounced that wrong. Anyway, they were looking at how quickly wild baboons recover from injuries, especially males. The male baboons fight a lot. And apparently they recover much more quickly than human beings do. And this is one of those trade-offs. You know, we have durable skin as for the kinds of critters we are. And of course, it's all just naked. So when you, you know, smack on something, it there's nothing to buffer the blow. So naked, sweaty skin is good, keeps us cool. But it turns out that it also doesn't help with the healing process. So these researchers wanted to study healing in a way that was less violent and more controlled than just watching the baboons. So to measure human healing, they recruited 24 patients who were having skin tumors removed. So in the gather data on the other primates, they basically watched five captive baboons and watched how fast their wounds healed. So it turns out if you're a baboon or a chimpanzee or something like that, your wounds heal more quickly than a human.
So they're less likely to get injured than humans. But then they heal faster too.
Yeah, exactly. So. Well, and it's one of the things about humans too is that they're, you know, when humans engage in conflict, it's much more likely a human is going to die. And it's not because humans are especially awful to each other, although they are pretty awful. It's because we're actually much more vulnerable than other sorts of animals.
Sure.
So it's easier to kill a human, especially with our big flappy brain up on the top there, you know, and a very spindly neck and things. So it's easy to knock somebody down and kill them.
Oh, it's like when we're talking to Esty and you know, we get a, you know, we tease each other back and forth. But if it gets a little too rough, she reminds us that she had the Israeli military training and knows like seven ways to kill us with a pencil.
Yeah, exactly.
And she wins every argument.
Every argument. We always back down. We are the beta males.
So, living near a golf course doubles the risk of Parkinson's.
I think that's a classic correlation is not causation here.
Really?
I was actually at a golf.
They use millions of chemicals on those courses.
I see what you're saying.
And so I think it makes sense. But it's also, it's kind of funny because that's, for a lot of people, that's a very desirable trade to be close to a golf course.
I was actually at my first golf course yesterday.
At your first golf course?
I've never actually been to a golf course.
Baby's first golf course?
A colleague of mine was retiring and they wanted to have it at the country club. And that, first of all, nauseated me, but all right, I'm there. So I just walked around to see what was happening.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting. There were all these people flying around in little Jeeps.
Sure.
And then they had these little golf slaves that were carrying all their stuff for them.
That's how you do
So is that a sport or is that kind of more like a game, like tiddlywinks something?
It's like fox hunting.
Yes, like fox hunting. Okay. Yeah, it was weird. And then the ultimate was...
Only you would be like mystified by a golf course.
I would say it was just like, what is this? But the thing that really got me was some a-hole, because I think only a-holes belong to this club, parked me in. Like they just pulled their giant vehicle, you know, that you could see from space up behind my little Toyota. And I had to get somebody to come and move it. And I was like, what did they... They obviously looked at it and thought, well, they're not a member. You know, is it... Because I can't play tennis in the back seat, you know, so I can't possibly be at this club.
Prius.
You got a Prius. Yeah, I know.
This study concludes that this connection between golf courses and Parkinson's could be linked to the chemicals used in the
that makes a lot of sense.
Greens and fairways. No, they use tons and tons of herbicides and pesticides, and you know, you got to have everything looking nice and green and pretty.
Yeah.
For the a-holes with the giant trucks. Oh, let's see. Five Alabama cities recently removed fluoride from their water.
Oh, Lord.
And the takeaway from this article is it's not a pretty picture.
Yeah.
So.
Well, in Kentucky, you know, one of the best insults that you can give is actually a compliment. Mighty nice tooth you got there. Yeah. That's what we used to say.
Nice. Yeah.
It was how you judged it, your prom date. You know, like, she's got three teeth. Okay.
It's like the deer.
No,
it's like the deer hunters up here. They how many points are on the buck.
Yeah, so exactly. You know, yeah. So. No, actually, Kentucky does have the worst dental health in the United States.
Really?
Collectively, yeah, it's true. And it is because a lot of people, we drank well water when I was a kid growing up. Yeah. And in fact, my sister, when she got married, she lived in a place that not only just had well water, but they had sulfur in the water because there's so much sulfur that leaches out of the, you know, that's a, you know, the coal seams and stuff that leaches in there. And so whenever she or her husband or kids would take a shower, her whole trailer would smell like
Satan.
Eggs.
Satan.
Yeah, smell like Satan. Yeah, exactly.
But that was just her. Oklahoma will teach high school students the debunked 2020 election fraud theories as fact.
Okay.
They're going to teach that Donald Trump and his allies actually won in 2020.
Who's teaching this?
Oklahoma.
The whole state?
Yeah, it's part of their new curriculum.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. Excellent.
Oklahoma, our goal is to be okay.
Yeah. Mission accomplished. So I found this, this might be appeal to some of our demographic. Weird signs you're getting older.
What?
Weird signs you're getting older.
Okay.
So this, the writer says, my lower teeth have grown a lot more crooked over the last few years. This has been a surprise. And a few friends in midlife reported the same thing. So I called a doctor of orthodontics about this. And she said, it's not unusual for teeth to shift and drift as you age. And it tends to occur more in the bottom teeth. And the top is probably because of a lot of force, of course, being exerted on the bottom. So here are some surprising things. If you may be a person who is having these things happen to you. So your teeth are shifting. Your voice can change. As you get older, your voice can get weaker and raspier. So this is an unusual thing. And you may find that your voice is going up in pitch. And that could be surprising. I think we all know that people, as they age, they shrink. That starts around 40. It's pretty young. And by age 70, men will lose an average of 1 inch a year, whereas women will lose actually closer to about 2 inches.
Really?
And after 80, you'll probably probably drop another inch. Here's a positive thing, though, and I've seen that with my aunt. I have my aunt Hilda used to get really, really bad migraines, but as you age, migraines will diminish. And most women report that their migraines get better. They have reduced frequency, reduced severity, and they might not even have migraine attacks anymore. So there's the one thing to look forward to.
Wow.
Very few migraines.
And your ears and your nose keep growing, too.
Do they?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So
I just know I'm finding hair where I never had hair before.
Yeah,
and less hair where I used to have it. So it's it's relocating. I think that's what's going on.
Oh, Don D-cubed corrected my correction. He said, you got this wrong last week and just alluded it to again today. It's the male cardinals that are red. The females are mostly brown. I was trying to say that.
I actually like the female color scheme better. It's brown with sort of red-ish parts to it. It's actually kind of attractive.
Yeah. So I'm not going to talk about cardinals anymore because I apparently can't get it right here. So
I think the cardinal is like the state bird of like six states or something. I mean, they're so distinctive, right?
Got an email from Mindless Minion number 12 to the power of Zen.
Oh, good Lord.
About Nixon.
I don't remember making out that card.
When I was in junior high, back when Nixon was president, there was a hippie poster shop in downtown Des Moines, and they had a poster with picture of either a Girl Scout or a brownie, I don't remember the color of the uniform, who was obviously pregnant, and the caption of the poster was, Nixon's the one.
Oh, dear.
Oh. I do remember the one where they had the picture of Nixon looking like, you know, as insincere as Nixon could possibly look, which is
normal face.
Normal face. Yeah. And it said, would you buy a used car from this man?
Yeah.
That was it. Oh, let's see here. They found some cave art in, I think it was in India. No, it was Africa. 200 million years old, and it depicts a mysterious extinct species.
Oh, neat.
I love these things. It's just, I don't know, it's kind of a weird...
And you know why they're extinct? Because they drew such a good picture of them.
Yeah, let's go eat this.
Go that one. Yeah. Oh, exactly. Just like the cave. There it is. Delicious.
It was something called a horned serpent.
A horned serpent?
A horned serpent. Well,
that sounds like something from the Bible.
just a snake, I guess, but it had little horns on it. But anyway, so...
A snake with horns, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's the devil. There. Let's see, we're shutting down the Energy Star program that the White House has announced that that's helped Americans save more than $500 billion since 1992.
No, you can't have that.
But we don't want that anymore. So,
By the way, I mentioned that this is going to be all science all the time. Two scientific groups have said, they said this week that they would publish work for the country's report on climate change. Remember, I mentioned that that had been shut down by the Trump administration. But the American Geophysical Union and the American Meteorological Society said they would go ahead and publish the work that was intended for, this public consumption through distribution by the government. But it's incumbent on us to ensure our communities, our neighbors, our children are all protected and prepared for the mounting risks of climate change, according to the Brandon Jones, the president of the union and a program director with the National Science Foundation. Formerly program director of the National Science Foundation, after he said that. So this is the National Climate Assessment, and it's a comprehensive review of the latest climate science.
All right, time to declare. The weekend. Enjoy the weekend. I think it's going to be nice. It's pretty gorgeous out there right now, so get out and enjoy yourself.
The true sunshine is within.
That's true. And the journey to get there and whatever. So it's 2 o'clock. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Pantso, it's great to see you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening, and stick around. The kiosk is next, and after that, who cooks for you? Bye-bye.
This is the Incision Radio Kiosk for Friday, May 9th.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1934. That was the day the West Coast Maritime Strike began. It was an historic strike that shut down the major ports along the Pacific coast. The strike also coincided with the pivotal Minneapolis Teamster Strike and the Toledo Autolite Strike. From Seattle to San Diego, longshoremen walked off the job. Harry Bridges led the Albion Hall Caucus in San Francisco. They demanded higher wages, shorter hours, and union representation. They also demanded a coast-wide agreement and a union hiring hall to replace the hated daily shape-up. Longshoremen were fed up with the gangster-run company union that controlled the arbitrary day labor hiring on the docks. From the pages of the Waterfront Worker Newsletter, militant longshoremen took on the shippers, the government, craft unionism, and racism of the union. On the first day of the strike, dozens of black longshoremen joined the union and convinced others not to scab. Soon, all unions on the docks walked out in solidarity. By May 15th, the West Coast ports were completely shut down and 25,000 were out on strike by the end of the month. In his book, Workers